Hey, Love Talk Radio.
What's happening? Let's talk football with the Hangman and Bach. We here once again. What is happening? What is going on? Man, just want to thank everybody for, you know, tuning in, paying attention, coming to see us, you know, each and every Saturday. We are having a little technical difficulties, but everything will be up and running really, really soon. We got a great show today. We got a couple of the greats on. We have the one and only Hangman himself, and we have Minister Kevin Miner on the show today. Also played with the Bulls, and just a great guy from what I hear. We also have for you today Mr. Horse, a.k.a. Horse, Lawrence Rickert. So I heard he is a historian with anything that has to do with sports in the DMV area. So I look forward to speaking with him as well. Right now, we're just going to keep on moving forward with our show. I'm about to get Brooks in on the show right now. Let me pull him in really quickly. Hey, what's happening, Brooks?
What's up? What's up, Big Bach? Good evening. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I just had some difficulties over here, man. Sorry about that. But we're going to get it together.
It's computer age. It always got a little glitch in the computer. So everything's going to be all right. First of all, you know, I went to my cousin's memorial service today. You know, I tried to liven everybody up. It was sad, but it was crowded. A lot of people from Godoza, a lot of people from uptown, from Northwest. He had a lot of people that showed up. And, man, that's the only brother I had, right? And that's the reason why I went to Godoza. That's the reason why I played baseball. But I wound up playing baseball, I became a little better football player. Coach Hayden was there, Bob Hayden, and he had the memorial service, so he made the rest.
I'm so sorry to hear that, man.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
So we got a big show tonight.
Show tonight. Got some great.
We got my man Horse. Lawrence Lacard. Guess what? This man is a walking dictionary on sports in D.C. He can tell you about every athlete. He can tell you their size, their weight, what they could do, what they couldn't do. I mean, he could go old school, too. I mean, he knows his stuff. You know, he coached up Wilson, coached all over the city, coached a lot of big-time ball players, pros. Man got a little age on him. He know the game. He know. You can talk about any sport, baseball, football, and basketball. I wouldn't be surprised if he know about hockey, because he knows a little bit of everything. And very articulate, and really, really, really is good to talk to you. He's a mountain of information. Then we have Kevin Miner, the all-world linebacker. He used to play for Eastern. I call him a one-man wrecking crew. He's the one to stop Freddie Juice Wagner and Cornelius Green. You know, we had him on the show. Yeah. Cornelius Green won the great. When Easton played Dunbar, he won the championship 2 years in a row. It was a hell of a linebacker. Also, when he came with the Buccaneers, he was a running back when he played with our assistant coach with the team, the Buccaneers. Marine, cold-blooded dude. Now he's a minister. in California, so he'll be calling in from Oakland, California.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah, man.
That's what's up. Yeah, I'm about to get our first guest on here in a second, as soon as I can make this connection. But wow, man. So you've been watching the NBA?
Yeah, man. I was a little disappointed last night. Man, you know, I'm an East Coast guy. Well, Ohio's really not East Coast, but it's close enough. I wanted LeBron because my main man is Kyrie Irving. That's who I really love. And I wanted to win because of him. You know, I like LeBron, but I love Kyrie Irving because he got the best handle. He's just as slick as he could be. He almost broke Steph Curry's ankles last week with that move. But, you know, when you shoot more threes, they scored more threes than they did twos. It's hard to beat a team that's shooting threes all night. And they're throwing the ball up from everywhere, from the popcorn stand, from the bathroom, and they just making them. And that's hard to stop. I don't care what people say, oh, we can defend this. When you got a man shooting 28, 30 feet, you know. Man, ain't nothing you can do about that. And then you got to come down and hit. You come down and score, hit two, and they hitting three. And then toward the end of the game, everybody was pressing from Cleveland, and they stopped hitting, and that was it.
Yeah, that was that, man.
They're down 3-1. Do I think Cleveland's going to win? No, but I don't make predictions. You know how I am. I don't make predictions. But it's bad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
I know exactly what you're talking about, man. Yeah, that's just crazy, man. I thought they was going to hold on to it, and you know now they about to go back home. That's one game out.
Yeah.
That's one game out. You see
right.
how they did them
right.
at home. It was something devastating.
You're right. That don't look good at all. But how you doing? You all right?
Yeah, man, I'm hanging in there, man. You know, working, making it happen one step at a time.
Yeah, I hope to be working next week with recreation. They're supposed to be calling me. I hope to be working back in the streets.
I know
again.
That's right.
Up in the neighborhood where I belong at. I belong in the hood.
Well, you feel comfortable now. You foolish.
Yeah.
You crazy.
Lord has blessed me, so I'll be put me up in the hood where I belong. That's where I belong.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's where you need to be, man, doing your work, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, I'm doing good, man. How you doing, man? How you feeling? How the fans?
I ain't lift weights in almost 2 weeks, and I can tell. So I got to start back. I'm going to try to start back next week. But you know, when you don't lift weights, you know what? Don't you?
Oh, yeah, that feeling is a feeling of, whoa, what's going on here?
You lost
body.
You get sick. Things go right, you lose that little pump that you got.
Right.
Yeah. So we got a special guest coming on.
Oh yeah, man. That's gonna be exciting, man.
Yeah. We're gonna
bring
Horse on.
Exciting.
So we got a little delay, so Kevin Miner, we're gonna have him on at 8:45, but he might come on at 8:50 or something like that. We got good horse on.
Just set it back a little
got
bit.
Got a lot of information.
Oh yeah, I'm getting closer and closer to getting this guy on the phone. The computer, you know, it's slowing me down a little bit.
Everybody, if you know anything about webcasts and computers, it's not the same as radio. You know, you have little problems here and there, but my man is trying to work them out.
Yes. So, yeah, we gonna stay putting this thing together for you, man. The pool's been open, man. You ain't been to the pool yet? Oh man,
it was hot out there today.
Yeah, man. You know, had the kids in the pool today. you know, they working me real hard at the job right now, you know, so they had me outside all day.
Oh, outside?
Everybody was talking. Yeah. You know,
try to get clients together, huh?
Yeah, man.
Try to get the clients together. So, I understand.
Yes, sir.
So, Horace, if you're around, just hang on, baby. We'll go get to you in a minute.
Coming right up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, I had a real nice time last week. It was the lady's birthday, so I took her out to eat. We went down to it's called Newburgh, Maryland, right there on the water. You ever heard of Captain Billy's?
Yeah. I've been through there. I've been down that way. My friend and I, we've been through that. We've been down in there. You talking about the Eastern Shore, like 301?
Right. Yeah, exactly. We went down there. She got some crabs and stuff. I got some crab cakes, man. They got some good food down there, and it's reasonably priced.
Yeah.
That was the day of the thunderstorm.
Yeah, it's a good food down there. I've been down there a couple of times. It's nice. It's pleasant.
Oh yeah.
On the water.
Oh yeah. I really enjoy myself.
Yeah.
I think she did too.
Father's Day next week. We won't be on the air next week.
Oh yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. And everybody out there in radio and web land, we won't be on next week. But the following week we're gonna try to have George Atkinson, all pro, strong safety with the Oakland Raiders back in the day with Jack Tatum. When they put Lynn Swann in the hospital and he was taking people's heads off. My type of man. Headhunter original.
Pure monster.
We wanna get him in there. He's the one on NFL film saying Lynn Swann's a punk. He's nothing but a punk. He's soft. I'll never forget that. I would like to have him and Jack Tatum on at the same time, but Jack Tatum passed away. But we're gonna get him on there, and it's gonna be great because he got some stories to tell you about some of the people in the NFL that he put the wood to. You know.
Oh man.
Speaking of the wood, Kevin Miley put some wood to people too. Want to get him on there, and I want to let everybody know we got a little delay going on. We got started late, but we're gonna get to Horace. Stand by. We're going to get to Kevin Miner. Stand by.
Stand by. Coming right up. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and give our first guest a call. And
he's got information, man. You want to know something about DC sports? Don't look it up on a computer. Don't look it up on Google. Just talk to him. He can tell you everything.
That's it.
He probably
can
tell you what kind of underwear they wear. He can tell you everything. What kind of T-shirt size, what size they wear. He can tell you who was an orphan, who wasn't an orphan, who grew up in the projects, who grew up in a private home. He can tell you it all.
Wow.
One of the people that I really respect. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's amazing.
Yeah, he's old school. He's older than I am. I mean, he's very knowledgeable, man. And we're going to have a lot of fun with him.
That's amazing, man. How does he have this great memory like this?
Yeah, you know, he's up in age, but his memory is sharp. I wish my memory was sharp as his. You know, sometimes I'm trying to think, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe I'm just getting old because I sure didn't have any concussions. I got a bell ring one time, but I never been knocked out and had concussions. But my memory is not as sharp as his. But
telephone. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Let's
Hello,
talk
hey,
football
how you doing,
with the Hangman. We got my man Horse on the line. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How you doing today?
All right. I was just telling Brock, I say, this man is a fountain of information. He know about everybody. He know about back in the day, all the best ball players, softball, baseball, some of the great football players. And welcome to the show, man.
And thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And my man Brock, I told Brock, I say, this man know it all. Hey, who played softball where, who played football where, who played baseball where, who did this, who did that, who did this. Well, tell us about yourself. I know you from D.C., right?
Yeah. I was born in Washington, born down at 6 and K, a little street called Callan Street, back in the 40s. And I grew up playing baseball at Hayes Playground, Logan,
yes,
and Sherwood Playground.
Yes.
And I went to school at Integrated Stewart Junior High School, one of the first classes there. And I went to Phelps Vocational High School, went up to Federal City College for a while, and went to UDC for a while.
A wealth of dollars. So let me ask you, you come across a lot of great ball players. You coach a lot of great ball players. Before we get into a lot of stuff, tell us about some of the ball players that you coached in this town.
Okay, well, I started off coaching basketball in junior high school, at Stewart Junior High School. And one of the first ball players, female players I had, was a young lady by the name of Tandria Green, who went on to play basketball at Woodson High School, went on to Kentucky and played, and she did quite well for herself. Some of the other players I had came in contact with: Sidney Lowe, Sherman Douglas, Tim Anderson. And that's just to name a few.
So in the NBA.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, tell us about – I'll tell you about Tandria Green. I remember her because when I coached Kelly Miller girls and we played Stewart in the playoffs and we lost. And she was –
yeah, well, Tandria – well, I saw Tandria. I was over at Ludlow Recreation Center. And I was driving down the street on the way to the rec of myself and Bo Scott, and I saw this girl dunking a ball in a peach basket in the alley. Quite naturally, I put my car in reverse and went back, and next week she was at Stewart Junior High School. And and the rest is history. You know, she went on to school. She did quite well for herself. She's one of the best female basketball players that I had the privilege to coach. And she's now she's a police officer over at the 3D.
You know what? That's ironic because when Woodson had that championship team in 85, two of my girls started with that team was Lisa Anderson and Ruthie Miles. And Ruthie was strong forward and Lisa was the point guard. And Ruthie is down in Richmond, and the word is she's a police officer.
Right.
That's
ironic. And then also, yes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I said, and also, that was a very good team with Ruthie Miles, Tandria Green, and Tandria was very fortunate. She made Player of the Year at an 11th grader. And another person I had in rec ball and school, not school ball, rec ball and boys club ball, made Player of the Year the same year, and that was Sherman Douglas. And they have still remained friends as of today.
Sherman Douglas, bad boy. I wouldn't spend on Sherman Douglas because he played, you know, I coached Melvin Middleton and Big Duckett
right.
They went on to play with that, with what's that dude, Bootney? That was a
– Right, team. Right. Yeah, Bootney, Clarence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Along with Sherman Douglas was another guy who played ball for me, and his father and I grew up and played ball together. Robert Smith, the other guard they had that's been gone that year.
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
And he has a detective agency up in New Jersey.
Wow. Man, you know your stuff, man.
Yeah.
Well, let me, and I know you were up Wilson. Talk about when you were up Wilson. I mean, you coached some people up Wilson.
Well, I went up Wilson, and the coach up there, Bill Powell, asked me to come up. And I came up to Wilson, and I really had enjoyed myself coaching there. Had nice teams there, you know. No championships, but nice guys that went on, and some of the guys went on to do quite well for themselves. Melvin Tootin was a basketball player. He went on and played a little ball for the Cleveland Browns. Marty Sproul played it at Providence. And we had some quite nice ball players. And right before then, you know, there was Chris Cheeks and Poobie James. And that was a very good team. And Ronald Holt from down the Southwest. We had good teams, you know. You didn't win the championship, but that's not the most important thing. You know, a lot of the guys matriculated and went on to better things.
Yeah, you know what? It's about teaching sound technique. It's about developing manhood. It's about developing the man. Everybody thinks it's about championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not all about championship, you know. But it's good to win championship. But
right.
It's a thing where it's about developing, young men and women. That's what it's really all about.
Yes. And I was very fortunate that I've always had good basketball players, female and male. I learned a lot from the kids. You know, I coached track. I knew anything about track. The kids taught me. And I had a wonderful time doing it. Same thing with volleyball. At junior high school, we won 2 back-to-back volleyball championships. They taught me. And so I had a lot of good experience working with young people, especially out of the near Northeast.
This is what we're really going to ask you. Name some of the great ball players that come out of this town, baseball, football, whatever, some of the great ball players that played in this town. I remember you talking about Gary Mays, one arm. A lot of people don't know about him.
Yes.
Talk about some great ball players in this town. Before you go into that, you got a caller.
Yes.
No, they want to speak to you. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Well, welcome to the show.
You sound like a big black man. I want your dick in my ass. Oh, daddy. You can fuck.
Sorry about that.
I don't know who that is.
Uh-huh.
We got a peep around somewhere.
Hey, you know, it's way of the world.
You're right. Tell us about some of the great, great ball players that come out of D.C.
Well, some of the great ball players, when I was a kid, the people that I admired always come to my mind was Gary Mays. You know, Gary Mays had a handicap. He had one arm. Back in the late 40s down to the middle 50s, most ball players were shooting two-hand set shots and one-hand push shots. Gary Mays was one of the first people I seen to shoot a jump shot because of his handicap. He only had one arm. When he would dribble the ball, he would pull up, palm the ball in his hand, put the ball on his nub, and shoot the ball while he's in the air. And that's the first time I've seen people shoot a jump shot. Most, like I said, most people are shooting two-hand set shots and push shots. I was fortunate enough to see Gary in a championship game against Spingarn, and I think Elgin Baylor was averaging something like 25, 30 points a game. And Armstrong won the championship, and Gary Mays held him down to about 16, 17 points.
Tell these people who Elgin Baylor is. A lot of people don't know because they don't know the history.
Yeah, well, Elgin Baylor is in one of the top 20 ball players of all time. He was a 3-time All-Met in Washington, D.C. from Phelps in 2 years. He holds, if I'm not mistaken, he holds the record for the most points scored in a high game, which is 63 or 64 points. He went on there, went to college at Idaho State in Seattle. Then he went to the Lakers and played his career with the Lakers. He was a legend, and he was one of the greatest ball players that ever came out of – basketball players that ever came out of this town.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Man. Name some of the other ball players, the greats.
Well, okay. Well, you know you had Elgin Baylor. He made Rookie of the Year when he went in the NBA. There was Adrian Dantley, who made Rookie of the Year when he went in the NBA.
Yeah.
Also, you had Austin Carr, who made Rookie of the Year when he went into the NBA.
That's right.
And it's so many great ball players that came out of Washington, D.C. We would be naming them all day long.
That's right.
All day.
Football players. They don't realize.
Over there was great football players. You had Lenny Ford, one of the first Afro-Americans to play, to come out of this town to go into pro ball. He's a famed player. Came out of Anacostia.
Yeah.
And his real name was Leonard Ford. We all called him Buck Ford. He's a graduate from Armstrong High School.
Hey, Buck, he knows everybody's nickname, too.
Everybody. I hear him.
Hey, you going to throw some names out. After you throw some names out, I'm going to ask you about certain people.
All right.
Okay. When you hear the word Blue Johnson, what comes to your mind?
Oh, in fact, I saw Blue Johnson last week. All around athlete, one of the fine. Not only was he an outstanding athlete at Cadoza High School, he's a fine gentleman also. Fine gentleman. Always been a gentleman. Always will be. And he let his actions speak for itself. He doesn't have to ring his own bell.
Yes. What about Big Gus? Softball man. You know Gus.
So who is that?
Gus.
Duck.
Gus. G-U-S. Softball.
Oh, Gus. Oh,
yeah.
Do I know Gus? Do I know Gus? Yes, I remember when Gus. I remember Gus from way back in the day when he moved out of Southeast and he moved in Northeast, and we couldn't get him out of Northeast. Gus is one of the best ball players you could find, and. We are a very good friend. Gus Banks, never forget him.
That's my baby, man. That's why I say Big Gus. I don't need to say the bank. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Hey, he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I had a lot of good time with him when he moved out of Southeast, and this was in the early 60s. And we used to go around the playground, and I used to throw him pitches, and he would try to hit it, but I could never strike Gus out. Gus could hit the ball. Just a little thing we used to do with a tennis ball. I'd throw a curve ball, he'd knock it all over the place. But a fine guy, always a gentleman, very low-key guy, but he could play that baseball.
Yeah. What about my coach, Bob Hedden?
Bob Hedden? Hedmo, what we used to call him back in the day. Bob is a fine guy. I mean, when I said he's a fine coach, he cares about his students, athletes, he cares about them. And when he came to, I remember when he came to my school to recruit Tandria Green. I told Tandria, I'll tell you where not to go at. But first time I'll ever tell a student, you go to Bob Hedden and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
And Bob's a fine guy, fine athlete. He went to Armstrong for a while, then he went on to Cadoza. He was on the basketball championship team at Cadoza. And a lot of people didn't know that Bob did play basketball, and he played it quite well. And Bob Hedden, for those who don't know, he is probably an Hall of Fame coach. But Bob Hedden was Damon Green before there was a Damon Green. And I don't have to say any more.
Yeah, they say he was a gorilla on the basketball court.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And the coach would say, that guy can't score no more points, Bob Hedmo. And Bob would shut you down. But he wasn't dirty. He played within the rules of the game.
Yeah, we don't like dirty ball players, do we, Bob?
A very nice guy. In fact, we're still in contact with each other.
Yeah, I saw him today at my cousin's funeral. My cousin played baseball, Kenny Newsom. Played baseball at the Kentucky What about my man Glenn Harris, the catcher?
Glenn Harris, my man. Glenn Harris, always a gentleman. He knows his sports. Outstanding baseball player in high school and in college. And his brother Ron, first class guys, yeah. Both of them.
Baseball players, yeah.
Yes, And in fact, you know, he also played a little football too.
Yeah, he played with DC Bears.
Yeah, he sure did.
He came a year after me.
Yeah.
DC Bears linebacker. He played with brothers. I played with brothers too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he played with the Bears, and I think he might have played with someone else I know, that guy they call Bob the Mouth Johnson.
Bob Johnson. Hey, too scared to come on the show. Talking about, I don't want to come on the show because I'm going to tell the truth. That's what we do, tell the truth. He don't want to hurt nobody.
Hey,
we don't want to hurt nobody.
Well, you know how Bob Johnson, Bob, he's good as gold.
Yeah. What about Weasel Jackson? Remember Weasel?
Yeah, well, Weasel out of Trinidad, went to Phelps. Fine ball player. Him and his cigar.
Yeah,
and
right.
And he will sell you a jogging suit, tennis shoes. Very good entrepreneur. And Weasel was an outstanding athlete.
Yeah.
Good third baseman. I remember him playing third base.
Yeah.
And also, Weasel was a good entrepreneur. I mean, he would sell you a jogging suit, and you tell him you didn't have no money, you left your money at home. He said, don't worry about it, I'll sell you a wallet.
That's true.
Yeah, and you know, he was a good athlete at Phelps. You know, I came out of Phelps. He came out of Phelps. Fine athlete, man, and a fine guy from up there in Trinidad. Played a lot of ball up with the Trinidad Rockets.
What about Roger Scott?
Roger Scott. I wasn't in school with him, but I went to a lot of football games, and I saw Roger Scott run the football. Believe me, he could run the football.
Yeah,
and got Phelps out of the bottom of the inner high, and my memory serves me correct. I think they played Bell for the city championship one year.
Yeah, they lost. I remember they lost.
But Scott was a fine running back, fine guy, man.
Yeah, good friend of mine. His son Lyle played with me with the Bulls too. Good
yeah.
Friend of mine. We only got about 5 minutes because we got Kevin Monica. We started late, but we're gonna bring you back. But tell us about some other ball players in D.C. that you really
want to. Well, you know, it was so many, you know, especially over in Northeast. There's some guys that didn't make it that could play well. And it was like, guys talk about ball players and who did this, but very few people would bring up Jerry Chambers. He didn't come no better than Jerry Chambers from over Eastern.
Oh, yeah.
They bring up a lot of guys that, huh?
I heard the name.
Jerry Chambers, Jerome Chambers over at Eastern, him and Reggie Green were on that team together over there. Yes. Also, Jerome Chambers was one of the first guys that won MVP and the NCAA championship games. And although his team did not play in the finals, he won MVP. Yes. He won MVP, Jerry Chambers, at Utah. His team came in third place, and he got MVP. So there, but never, a lot of people don't talk about Jerry Chambers, Johnny Dawkins. They don't bring these guys' name up. These guys could flat out play. And from the real old timers, the three-time All-Met from Fairmont Heights, Deucey Smith.
Okay.
And that's so the old timers will remember him. He was all everything over there at Fairmont Heights.
Now, what about Reggie Lee?
Reggie Lee is considered, just a moment. One of the finest basketball players just walked by, Bernard Wallace.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And who else did you ask about?
Reggie Lee.
Reggie Lee was one of the he is considered the best all around athlete that ever graced the basketball court, football field, baseball fields in this town.
That's what I hear. You know, I met him one time and shook his
yes.
hand.
Yes. He did it all.
I shook his hand.
Yes. Well, there was the three greatest ball players that I know that came out of this town. Four. It would have to be Reggie Lee, Gary Mays, Alveda Stone, and there was one other guy. His name. And there's one other guy that could play. Lou Luce. Those were the four of the greatest players that I ever seen, all around athletes. Lou Luce was from Wilson High School.
Absolutely. And I knew Frank Lee real well. I didn't know Reggie, but I don't run up the ball players. He's great, but when I heard his name so much, I went and shook his hand one night just to shake his hand because people don't realize that everybody says the same thing about him and Gary Mays and back and forth. But Reggie Lee's probably the greatest ball player. That he was over there with a mm-hmm. Baltimore coach. If he'd just been a punter, he would have been on the team.
And you're absolutely right. And also, they were Frank Lee, Hosey Lee, and Reggie Lee. All of them could play all sports. Reggie played tennis, golf, he played it all. But for somebody who might be still alive, who might be up in their 90s, and they will tell you this, and I found this out from a lot of older people that are deceased now, but they say Reggie Lee's father was the greatest athlete that ever played. His father's name was Strip Lee. Say Reggie couldn't touch his father, but I had never seen him. But I talked to people like Mr. Bill Butler, Mr. Wise, and they said he was all everything.
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere down the line. You know,
right.
When I was coming up, I sit down and listen to people about old times, about the old days.
Mm-hmm.
I listen and just keep my mouth closed. Now, when you sit there and try to talk to young people, the first thing they want to tell you, I was better than they were. I would have done this.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done that. I'd have smoked you just like I talked to ball players. They say, Brooks, I wish I had played against you.
Mm-hmm.
You keep looking at me because mm-hmm. I'm an old man walking around. You can't imagine me being young and got any kind of talent. So you figure you could just take over and just do anything you want. That's why a lot of young people don't know the history of this town because they don't listen. All they do is
they don't know the history. Because, see, the history of athletes in this town is not taught to kids. You know, they don't know.
Absolutely.
See, the only thing they know is iPad, the telephones, and the TV. But, see, they don't know when I was a kid coming up, we didn't have indoor courts to play on. We had to shovel the snow off the court to play. And when it get in the wintertime, we had to get a bag of coal and put in a tin tub, and so we can keep warm while we wait to play. And so if you didn't live near, because it was only two Afro-American boys club, and you didn't live near them, you had to play outside. And the first indoor court I ever played on was in a church at 6 and I. And so the kids today, they ride to the game. We had to go play ball at Banneker. We had to walk there.
That's right.
So, you know, and the guys. Yeah. No, it was no carpooling because the, you know, and the gentleman in the recreation department I grew up with, you know, they had Mr. Sam LaBeach and Mr. Stovall. These are the people we played for. Mr. Milton Jones. Those are guys we played for. Those are guys that we admired. And I see kids today saying, some coach want me to go somewhere and play. My mother would say, no. Mr. Stovall is the one that gave you your first basketball. That's where you played. Them other people you're talking about, I don't know these people.
That's right.
But,
that's
you know, different day, different time.
Let me ask you a question.
Different day and different time.
What about my man, Yates McCaulker?
Oh, yes. Outstanding athlete, outstanding gentleman working with kids. You know, he worked with kids. He did a lot. Outstanding athlete. You know, he might be in one of the Hall of Fames in this town. But I've read a lot about him, and a lot of people have asked me about him. But I've had the privilege of meeting him a couple of times. I think if it wasn't mistaken, I might have been up at Banneker.
Yeah, I played for him with the Saints. He was my coach, and also
right.
When I went to college, he was my mentor. But Jason McCorkle, he could throw a ball left-handed. He could throw a ball left-handed or right-handed. But Jason, the devil, you know, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But man, that was my man, you know.
I understand that, but you know, that's the way it was. You know, they had absolute control over you, and it was a good thing because it taught you discipline. I'm listening.
Only
thing I was just saying, they taught you a lot of discipline because the coach called my house and told my mother, say I was looking for him, he didn't come to practice, I got punished because my mother said, I signed the paper for you to play ball, and that's where you should have been at.
That's right.
And
that's how we
grew up in our neighborhood.
That's it. You know, I grew up with Kermit Washington. Me and his brother used to hang together, right? We grew up uptown. And the Travis brothers from Roosevelt. So it was a lot of athletes around this town. You know what? Let me tell you something. The athletes in this town back then, you know, they're real athletes because we went outside and played all the time. Now, they're in there inside looking at a telephone, a PlayStation. They think that's how you play the game, by PlayStation. Mm-hmm. The PlayStation has killed more people, more black people, than the KKK. I've always said that.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Get stuff from PlayStation. You one thing about PlayStation, it teaches no technique. At all.
None. And no discipline.
A bunch of plays.
Right. It's just the way the times is today, because I was telling a friend of mine about 2 years ago, and somebody gave me $1 million and say, I have to have a baseball team. Where will I get the kids from, and where would I practice at? Because every field in the inner city of Northeast, in the near Northeast, all the baseball fields have been taken up, and there are flower beds there and a tot lot. So where would you practice? Yeah, well, we know what that is. And some of the legendary playgrounds like Sherwood. Any high school coach could come into any playground and say, I need somebody to come to high school that can play back. You can go to any playground and find a guard. Each neighborhood had a girl basketball team. So I've seen in the boys' club, I worked in the boys, I've seen Digger Phelps, plenty of coaches come in the boys' club looking for basketball players.
That's right.
And this is what I've seen with my Georgetown team would come in there every Saturday and play basketball.
Yeah.
And play ball. And so you could find basketball players at any playground. Now you go to the playgrounds, you see maybe two or three guys shooting a basketball or nobody playing baseball. And if you look in the NBA and in baseball, Afro-Americans' participation in these sports is on a decline.
Right.
And you look on the basketball teams, you see more foreign players. You're finding more foreign players playing now and less Afro-Americans.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And in baseball, that was the first thing I ever learned to play was baseball. And I didn't want to play basketball, and I didn't want to play football. I wanted to be the next Jackie Robinson until Miss Bertha Bell and Mr. Stovall said, you're going to play baseball, basketball, football, you're going to run track, and you're going to learn to play tennis.
Yeah, I grew up baseball, and my thing was hammering Hank Aaron. That was my idol.
Yep.
Mickey Mantle. Mm-hmm. Joe Adcock, first baseman from
Can you hear me, bro?
Then it wasn't about no white and black. I love Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
Oh, you like that white? Mm-hmm. It wasn't about no white and black back then.
Yeah. No. Right. If you can play, you can play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got your next guest then on the line.
Okay. Well, Little Horse, we got to get ready to go, but I'm going to have you back, man, in probably 2 weeks so we can finish this because there's a lot of more. You know, I've had a guest last week, 2 weeks in a row. So you could talk about some other ball players, but
right.
We have to talk about a lot of ball players. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could talk a little bit about what we can do to improve some Afro-Americans getting it back into baseball.
Absolutely.
All right, then. And thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you.
All right, then. Goodbye.
Okay.
Have a good
Bye.
Evening.
You too.
Hello?
Okay, that was my man, Horse. Hey.
You can hear me?
Hey, Lawrence LeCard, man. He know his stuff. Know his stuff. Next, running late today, but next we got my man, Kevin Minor, the one-man wrecking crew. Kevin Minor.
Can you hear me?
Man, he's pretty wagged it down.
can you hear me right now, Horse?
Hey, one of the great football players ever come out of this town. Linebacker and went on play ball. It was a hell of a running back, too. I mean, he was an all-around athlete. It will knock you out if you jump in his face. He'll take you around the corner. But now he's a medicine. I love it.
He's on the line right now. Can you hear him?
This is Kevin Minor.
Kevin. Kevin.
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Speak up, man.
All right. What's up, bro?
How you doing? Hey, Kevin Minor, my man.
I'm doing just fine, thank the Lord. All is well with me, man.
Hey, Kevin.
I can hear you talking to the other brother, Horse, man. I think this.
Can you hear me?
I don't quite know the guy.
Hello? What'd you say? Hello?
Can you hear me, Brooks?
Yeah, he calling from Oakland, California, everybody, so I want to let you know that. He's coming all the way across the country. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the show, man. Tell us about
Can you hear me, man?
Tell us about yourself as a football player.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Well, you know, I just wanted to make sure. I don't quite know the format of the show, man, but I was listening to you talk
it's
to the other
you.
Brother. Yeah, well, you know, first of all, you know me, man. I'm a minister of the gospel, man, and I give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's the head of my life. And I want to thank you, my brother, for giving me an opportunity to address God's people, man. But I give honor where honor's due, and honor's truly due to him. You know, and again, it's my honor to be on here with you, Mr. Brooks. Man, you know, I used to watch you when I was a little boy, man. I used to watch you play over there in Eastern High School.
Hey, Bob, there we go.
Yeah, well, you know, I used to hang over there at Eastern High School, man. I used to watch Brooks play football, man. And I learned a lot about the game, and I learned a lot about what I shouldn't do watching Brooks,
oh, man.
There it is.
Hey, Bob,
I told you.
who else on the line with us?
Hey, what you
got? Box.
Might be a lot of people listening. What do you mean? What you should do? What are you talking about, man?
Well, you know, I didn't know there was all that stuff was against the rules until I got a little older, man. Yeah, but again, it's my pleasure, man. You know, I'm living out here in California now. I don't know how many of you guys know my story, man, but I left D.C. It's been about 23 years now, and I've been gone for a while. You know, and, you know, but football, man, hey, football taught me some valuable lessons, man. And just for anybody to remember me after, it's been more than 30 years since I played ball in the high. You know what I mean? And for somebody even to remember who I am, man, it's grateful. I'm grateful to somebody know who remember who I am.
Yeah, young boys don't listen because they don't do history. But we got enough people on this show that know who you are. So,
well,
you know.
Football. I can say this, man. Football taught me some valuable lessons, man, and principles. And I don't know what they learned from the game now, but I learned a lot of stuff from football that I even utilize now, you know, in my life and in my ministry, man. But, you know, because if you really listen and watch the game and the way we played and the little things we learned, there's a parallel. It's a real parallel to the way life and football goes. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, first of all, there's a start. The game starts. Life starts. There's a middle of the game when, you know, you're kind of feeling each other out, and you learn some things in life, man. I don't know how many people know my story, man, but I graduated from Eastern High School in 79 and left there and went down to North Carolina Central. And I just like other people, had ambitions, man, and aspirations to do great things. But a lot of things we didn't learn in D.C., man, and we go abroad and find out that things aren't the way they are back home. You know what I mean? And,
right.
I wind up, long story short, walking away from a full scholarship because I just wasn't mature enough to understand what was going on, you know what I mean, in my life at the time. So I want to walk away from a full scholarship and join the Marine Corps Reserves, man. And while I was in the Marine Corps Reserve, my aspiration was to always go back to school. But I never got back to school because, you know, life happens. You know what I'm saying? And I got into a little incident where I put my hands on a dude over there at the carnival. And life for me changed. Life as I knew it was different from that point forward, man. And it's funny how, you know, once you get off track, it's sometimes difficult and sometimes you never get back on track.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But my circumstances ended me up, man, in the alley up there by Spingarn High School, up in the alley, and over a transaction that went bad, the dude was given the order to take me out.
Yeah.
And the dude that was with him took the .44 and put it to the back of my head and walked me through the alley. And the reality was is that I was willing to accept my fate if that's what it was. Because all of the bad decisions that I had made, that's where I wound up, in an alley with a gun to the back of my head. But it's in that alley while I was walking that I got my calling in the ministry. And it may be hard for some to understand, but it may be easier for some others to understand. That God told me at that point, he told me then, this is not so. I got work for you to do. Now, this brother who I never met that had the gun to the back of my head walked me halfway into the alley, took the gun from the back of my head and called me by name. He said, "Kevin Miner, just run. Fired the gun up into the air 3 times to make his man think that he did what he was supposed to do. You see what I'm saying? And that was divine intervention. And I knew then that my life would never be the same. You see?
Wow.
And I never knew that my ministry would call me all the way to a place where I'd never been. You know, most of us, when we hear California, all we know is Los Angeles. Unfortunately, there are a lot of parts of California. I'm actually in Northern California in a place called Wine Country. And if you know anything about Wine Country, it's one of the richest places here on the West Coast. But it ain't a whole lot of black folk here. You see? It ain't a lot of black folk here. And I've had 2 guys that remain nameless that I tried to help. Once I got myself established here, I brought them both out here. Both of them are doing time now. You know, so I realized that you can't save everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you do the best you can. And I realized that my life is sometimes the only Bible that some people are going to read. You see what I'm saying? So I've been on a quest to allow my life, man, to be a reflection of the Christ that's in me, man, because he saved me. He saved the old broken down sinner like me, man. And
me
I was doing some stuff. Yeah.
Saved me.
Yeah, well, you know.
I've done a lot of dirt. I just didn't go to jail, but I did a lot of dirt. It wasn't for football. And my father and mother and Bob Hinton and Cardoza, I'd have been in jail or dead because everybody in my family, my mother's side of the family, said he'd be dead by 25. Everybody, because this man is crazy. He got good sense. So, you know, I'm blessed.
Let me tell you this story, man. Look, one day I woke up, right, and I went to the bathroom, and I was looking out the window. And while I was looking out there, man, there was a guy outside the window that came to the window and started talking to me, right?
Yeah.
And while this guy was talking to me, man, he was telling me a story. And you could look at the guy and see that life had beat him up real good, man. He was kind of broken down and tattered. But while he was talking, he said, "Man, listen here, let me tell you something, boy. Once upon a time, well, I was the talk of the town. Everybody was talking how bad I was, man, and how great I was going to be. You know what I mean? But life happened, man, and I went away. I left town. I went away. And while I was away, man, I made some bad moves. I've done some things that I'm not particularly proud about, but I'm still here. You know what I mean?" So he said, "Hey, listen, man." He said, "While I was out there on that journey, I ran into this guy. And the guy told me he was an angel, right? And the angel told me, man, he said, 'Listen, I'm going to tell you about a man who can make your life different, change your life around.'" So he told me about Jesus Christ, right? So when he told me about him, you know what I'm saying? I was all ears because I was truly engulfed in what this brother was saying. So as the story went on, he kept talking about, you know, man, I've done some things that I would probably never tell nobody, man, because I'm ashamed of them. You know what I'm saying? Well, the story went on and on and on, man, and I was so broken, I was in tears. You know what I mean? I was in tears looking at this brother and listening to his story, right? And then it was then that I looked into the mirror and I got closer, and I got close, and I put my hand on the window, right? And then I realized something. What I realized was that what I thought was not a window, it was a mirror, and the man that was talking was me.
What?
You see what I'm saying? I was looking at myself in a mirror. You see?
Hey.
Broken, man, broken. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, man, that God is able to take broken lives. So I was looking into the mirror, and I didn't recognize the guy that was looking back at me, but it was me in the mirror.
You know,
I thought it was a window. No question about it.
Messages come in different ways.
About it.
I know, because I've seen some.
Yeah.
I know that. And you know what? If you live long, that's why I tell the young boys, all that young boys, all that, if you live long enough, somebody, I don't believe in the Lord. And if you live long enough and you see enough in life, you'll understand it. I tell young boys all the time, they say, Brooks, you old. I said, well, if you don't want to get old, kill yourself. If you don't want to get old, just kill yourself. That's what I be telling them. Yo, you old. Hey, that's knowledge.
Man, you know how things are different, Brooks? When we was young, we looked at the older cats, man, and we tried to learn as much from them dudes as we could,
right,
man.
Absolutely.
These youngsters now, man.
They know more than you do.
Man, I tell you, man, these youngsters, they have a whole different ball game, man. Whole different ball game. But I got babies now, man, and I'm telling you, it makes you look at life totally different when you have some people that are looking up to you, man, and coming behind you. I got a son that's there in D.C. Mike's 39. And I got six grandkids. But he's a good kid, man. He was the spin guard. I don't let him tell nobody that, you know.
Yeah,
but he went to spin guard. I don't hold that against him. You know what I mean? He wanted to make his own way, you know. But, hey, is Freddie Wagner in the house?
No, he might be. But let me say this. I was getting ready to get to that. He been on the show, right? Him and Cornelius been on the show. Rock love him. Cause he was talking trash, he was this and that, and then we got to talking. I told Mark, I say, there's one man, and my man John Cotton, and some other people were talking the other day, and everybody said the same thing. They said Freddie Wagner was talking trash at the basketball game. What are you gonna do? He said Mike Wilson threw him up in the stand. He said Dunbar was hot. They had the smoke down there. They had Freddie Juice Wagner, and they say my man Kevin Miner and that linebacker cut his water completely off. And guess what? You know what Freddie is. Freddie is the type of person. He got a big ego, but he don't deny that. He give you all your problems.
Let me tell you something about Freddie, man. He hit me on Facebook talking about he want a rematch. But I told Fred, if you take off running right now, you ain't worried about me catching you. But anyway, man.
Let me tell you something. I got to tell you this. Guess what happened? About 3 weeks ago, I went up to Ridge Road Recreation Center because they built a brand new recreation center. They had a ribbon cutting ceremony. Guess what John Cotton said? Freddie Wagner was refereeing a flag football game with some teenagers, right? Football game, right? And this one boy was the fast one on the team. He was running all around, running fast. So when the game was over, Freddie Wagner said something to him. He said, oh, man, you old man. Do you know? Freddie Wagner said, you can't beat me running. You know, Freddie never had any really injuries, right? You can't beat me running. And the boy's father said, yeah. He said, you're going to kill that old man. You're going to kill that old man. Come on, race that old man. They said the mother was out there, the father, all the teammates say, he's going to kill you. He the fastest one on the team. Do you know Freddie Wagner beat him by 5 yards?
Man, Freddie's still in good shape, man. I've seen him.
The boy was so embarrassed in the family. I said, what happened, Cotton? He said, they shut up. They was. Freddie's almost 60 years old. Freddie smoked him.
Let me tell you something, man. We meet Freddie them in the RFK Stadium, right? And all week long, my assignment is to go wherever Freddie go. First play of the game, Freddie take off to the left, and I see him, Brooks, and I pursue him to the left, right? I go at him full blast. Freddie cut back, man, because Freddie was quick as a mouse, man. Freddie cut back, and all I caught was air. Look, and all I could see was the back of his jersey, And I'm thinking, man, we down 6-0, man. And out of the corner, right out of the right corner, I see this blur, this white blur, and Mike Walter ran Freddie down, man. Ran Freddie down. Now, Freddie ain't going to like this, but Freddie got about 66 yards on that one play, right? The next play, I catch Freddie in the backfield and say, it's going to be like this all day, boy, all day, all day. At the end of the game, Freddie ain't going to tell you the truth, but you know how many yards Freddie had at the end of the day?
How many?
Freddie had 84 yards at the end of the day, man. Now, take 84 and subtract 66 from that.
Yeah.
And that's what we did to Fred that day. He'll never tell the truth about that, right? He gonna tell you about when they beat us 22-0. He gonna tell you about when they beat us 22-0 in a preseason game over Spingarn. But I told Fred, and I'm gonna ask you, Brooks, how many preseason games did you ever win?
I don't care. Remember?
Don't nobody know. Don't nobody know, right? But I said, but Fred, I'm 2-0 with you in the championship, babe. I got you twice, man.
He was back and back. And look,
if anybody would like to speak to Kevin Miner, just press 1 on your dial pad. We'll get you in to make sure you can talk to your boy, Kevin Miner. For anybody, again, who wants to speak to Kevin Miner, just press 1 on your dial pad. We let you speak to Kevin Miner. Oh, we got one caller right here. Welcome to
the
show.
Kevin. Hello, Kevin Miner. This is David Johnson.
Dave Johnson. From Woodson, David Johnson?
Yep.
Woodson and UD, we played at UDC together, huh?
Yeah. That's my bad.
Hey, man, before you say anything, man, I want to say, man, I was praying for you, my brother, when I heard about the surgery and everything, man. You were definitely in my prayers, man. We had a prayer circle going for you. Are you better now?
Hey, man, I'm walking tall.
My man.
I didn't know about the surgery. You recovered? Everything's all right? Yeah, everything okay.
That's good, man. Good to hear, man.
I'm truly blessed, man.
That's
good,
true.
Man. No question.
No question about it.
You know, people really don't know what I've been through. But I'm, you know, if it wasn't for me playing ball, not drinking, not smoking, not messing with my body, I wouldn't be here today, buddy.
Come on,
you know,
man.
What I'm saying?
Well, you know, you got to also remember God's mercy, man.
Yeah.
You know what
and,
I mean? You're here by His mercy. Definitely that, man. It's grace and His mercy. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to say, man, I'm still mad at you for that. That 30-yard field goal you kicked and knocked his off before.
I forgot to tell you what. The man kicked field goals, too.
Hey, man. We've been 3-0 that year, man. 3-0.
Folks, it was 3 points kept us from going to saving that year, man.
Man.
How long was the field goal?
That was all right. So I kicked a 33-yard field goal on him, man.
I said, this dude ain't going to kick no 30. I didn't need press the issue. I looked at that same man. I said, oh, boy.
Hey, look. Hey, Dave. And tell him, I cleared it by about 10.
You cleared it about 10, bro. I said, ain't no black boy in there. I won't kick no 30-yard field goal.
You're right. They weren't kicking it like that. You're right. I forgot. That's right. You're a hell of a kicker.
You know what's funny about that, man? Brooks, you know how I learned how to kick field goals? My father used to take me down to Fairlawn Playground, down to Fairlawn by the swimming pool.
Yeah, at the concert.
And taught me how to drop kick a football with no tee, right? I could drop kick a football from 30 and in, right? So when I got to Eastern and they gave me a two-inch block, a square-toe shoe, I kicked that ball from 40 yards in, man.
Yeah. I just want to say another thing. A lot of people don't know this man is a multi-talented guy. He can play the piano. He can write music, man. He took me over his house one day.
He can play piano, man.
And he started playing the piano. I said, I didn't know you was that skillful, man. He was playing the piano.
I just thought you was an animal, man.
I'm still playing, man. Still doing music, still doing the ministry, man. And God has been truly blessing. And we started a movement called Ministry Without Walls, right? And it's different. It's different when, you know, we feed the hungry, we clothe, and we minister, and we offer biblical life, you know, biblical life application, man. And sometimes we just listen to people, you know what I mean? Sometimes people just want to be heard, you know. But we got away from the traditional church and the building and all of that, and we just able to do some remarkable things, man. And God has blessed me in that way, man. And that's what he meant that when, in that alley when he told me, I got work for you to do. But Dave, it's good to hear from you, man. And I'm glad that you came out all right. You know what I mean? But that too is a testament, man, to the goodness of God, man, and his grace and his mercy. See, this is what I want to share with you. I gotta tell you this, man. See, people talk about grace and mercy. Grace is free. I mean, you know, we get grace because we ain't gotta do nothing to get grace, because the salvation is already free. Salvation is free and the debt has already been paid. So we get God's grace just because we choose him. But his mercy is when we don't get the things that we deserve, man. Sometimes some of us deserve to be laid up, but we don't, because God has mercy upon us, man. I'm here today because of his mercy. See, that brother was told to take me out that alley, but God's mercy said, no, I got work for this one to do. So I'm just doing God's work now, man, and trying to honor him in all I do, man, and try to walk upright before man, you know what I mean, so that man can see an example of Christ in me. And that's all I'm doing, man. And Kevin Mad Dog Minor, man, he did some awesome things on the field, man, but we had to lay him to rest, man. The minister Kevin is doing some great things, man, but it's great to reminisce and trust you talk to people that knew me when, because they don't know me out here in California. I tell them some of my stories, man, they be saying you're making that stuff up, man.
They just don't know.
Yeah, it may be a couple of them listening right now, I hope.
When I think about Kevin Minor, the first thing I think about is a vicious linebacker. But see, I knew about the ministry, and I knew about a lot of other stuff. But I knew about the field goal. I understand when you kick field goal, but you play the piano, you can do a lot of different things. I mean, multi-talented. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, right? See, I had that kind of talent. The only talent I have is reminiscing about taking somebody's head off. Now I work with them youngers in the street, right? You know, I save their lives. I got a little play for that. You know, I go places where other people don't go, and I don't take anybody with me. A lot of people say, well, they believe in the Lord, they walk with the Lord. But so I tell them, let's go up in Lincoln Heights, back in the cut. I'm not going up there and get killed. I said, I thought you walk with the Lord. I guess you think the Lord don't walk with me. You know, I've been in some tight spots. I've been in some places, stop some shootings and stuff like that. And I've been in some situations that the Lord was with me. I don't understand. You know, it seems like when things get rough, people always say, oh, I walk with the Lord. But let's go over here and talk to these brothers over here to get these guns. I'm not going over there and get killed.
Well, you know, you got fair weather believers, man, and you know, your situations in life, man, are based on your level of faith. You know, your level of faith is different from mine, because you haven't been through what I've been through, and I haven't been through what you have been through. But I always say this, man, that prayer is asking for rain, right? But faith is carrying an umbrella. You get
that? Right.
See, prayer is asking for rain. Faith is carrying an umbrella. Your level of faith will give you the strength, man, to believe beyond what other people believe, because faith is what? The belief in things that we can't see. So it's easy to step out there and say, well, I love the Lord. God is good in those things. But are you willing to step out on nothing knowing that you're going to land on something? And that's the kind of faith I'm talking about. It's almost blind faith, man. Yeah.
Hey, man, I like the way you put that. That means a whole lot. That faith is the umbrella. You're right. Absolutely right.
Well, I gave you that one for free, man. You can have that one for free, Brooks. I ain't going to charge you for that one.
I appreciate it. Because when I go to those neighborhoods, you know, a lot of people, when I go to neighborhoods, and I'm going to be going back to work, they go to neighborhoods, they say, oh, man, ain't you worried about getting killed? Ain't you? I say, I worry about somebody shooting, just drive by shooting, and I get shot by accident. I say, but I never, when I go up those places, you know, down in the farm, Lincoln Heights, Simple City, Clay Trinidad, when I go to play when we're beefing and I'm going up in there, I never thought about, man, I don't know if I don't want to get killed going up in there. I never even crossed my mind. I always believe that these guys ain't going to shoot me because they know I'm trying to help, you know. So that's the way I looked at it.
Yeah, it kicked me off, man.
Yeah.
You better, am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, it kicked me off.
Yeah, but I understand what you say. A lot of people, they got that old fake faith. Yeah, the Lord, this and that. But see, okay, let's go up in here. Clay Terrence had a shooting up there. I got to talk to some of my boys. We got to knock on some door, talking to people. Well, I'm not going up there. Why not? Well, they say I'm not going. I might get killed. Well, they must don't believe that the Lord walks with me.
Yeah.
You know? I just don't preach it all the time, right?
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, our lives are based on our levels of faith, man. And you know, life teaches us a lot of things, man. You know, some of us need to be hit upside the head with a hammer before we believe. Some of us can be nudged and believe. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've never been the kind of dude that had to learn. You know, had to get hit upside the head two or three times before I learned. See, if you remember, Dave, you still there?
Yeah, Dave.
You still there, bro?
Yeah.
Now, see, when I was at Eastern, I didn't weigh but 190 pounds. I told people I weighed 210 pounds, but I only weighed 190 pounds. So I was never bigger than guys that was.
Yeah, that's a nice size for high school, though. Man. Don't get it twisted.
Well, you know, I played linebacker, guard, and kicker, man. But, you know, 300 pounders were rare back then, man. But my goal was never to get blocked. I didn't let nobody block me, man. And what I learned in that process is that I took that same mentality into my life. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I mean by football is the same principles we learn on the field are applicable to life. I remember dropping an interception. You know what I mean, Brooks? I remember dropping an interception. Once I dropped it, the play was over. There was nothing I could do going forward that was going to change the fact that I dropped that ball, right?
You got to forget about it.
So you got to forget about it. You know what I mean? But sometimes people in life, man, they drop the ball in life, and they stay stuck right there, and they can't get over the fact that, hey, I dropped the ball, and they get stuck. And because they get stuck, man, life is going to continue to evolve. Life ain't going to wait for them. Then they find themselves 5-10 years later, and they still stuck in that same spot because they can't get over the fact that they dropped the ball. Now, I'm dropping the ball as a metaphor for life. You see what I'm saying? Because I come back home once a year at least, and I see some of those same cats that I ran the streets with, man, still doing the same thing, you know? Now, and I'm not being self-righteous, but I'm saying that insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results.
Right.
That's the very definition of insanity, man. So these cats are doing the same stuff and expecting something to be different, you know? And I ain't better than nobody, man. I see some cats and I pay the tax. I call it the tax, man. When you see a brother that's not doing well, you give him $10, give him $20 or whatever, you're paying the tax, man. You know what I'm saying? I ain't much bigger than that because I understand that, but by the grace of God, that is me. That is me, but by God's grace. So I don't look down on nobody unless I'm looking down and giving my hand up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So other than that, man, we are all, you know, God's people. We are all God's children. But at the same token, man, faith without works is dead. We got to put work in life, man. It's the same thing on the football field. If you got a guy that he ain't blocking nobody, he ain't tackling nobody, why is he on the field?
You're right.
You see what I'm saying? Coach him. Get that nigga. Coach, get this nigga out of here. Get him out of here. He ain't helping us.
Yeah.
Life is the same way, man. Life is the same way, man.
They will tell you, get him off the field.
Man, get him off the field, man. Because I don't want him on the field with me. He's going to get me hurt or somebody going to get hurt. You see?
Yeah, you're right.
But if we end this game of life to win, it don't mean we're not going to get knocked down. It don't mean we're not going to get knocked on our butt. But it does mean that what we do when you get knocked down? Get up.
You got to get back up. You're right.
Get up, man. But you know, there are some cats that I know, and I'm sure some cats that you all know, man, that have gotten knocked down, and they still on the ground talking about, oh, man, give me a help. Give me a hand.
You're right.
Come on, man.
You're right. You know,
so life deals with it.
I done made some mistakes in my life. And all
no question.
It was my fault.
It's our nature to make mistakes. It's our nature to make mistakes. But it's because life don't mean we're not going to make mistakes. But the whole thing is that if you learn from the mistake, you're not going to do the same thing. Brooks, you played cornerback, right? Yeah. Dude come off and he give you a step to the court, to step to the sideline because he's trying to break across the middle, right? I know you'll probably reach out your arm and hang him, but I'm just saying. But if he come out the next play, if he come out the next play and make that same step to the sideline, try to make that same move, and you hang him again, he a fool. He's a fool, man. You done already showed him what happened when you make that lazy move. I'm going to tear your head off, right?
You're right.
So now the brother that's trying to win, not going to make that move no more. He's going to try to think of something else. But that's how life is, man. That's how life is, man.
So just like if a guy beat me for a touchdown, I forget about it immediately. It ain't no
you have to.
Man, because guess what? If you don't forget about it immediately, the next time he come on the field, he's going to beat you again.
Yeah, can't have a short memory.
And the difference is me and most ball players, I would do anything to win. If it means break the rules, not break the rules.
you was right the first time.
Brooks,
you was right. You was breaking the rules, man. Look, I went on the field and did what I saw Brooks do. Coach said, hey, what you doing? I said, man, I saw a dude named Brooks do this, man. He said, man, that's illegal, man. He said, man, you're going to get locked up on the field. You're doing stuff like
that. Hey,
you're going to call the police, man.
Kevin. 2 weeks from now, guess you're going to be on the show. George Atkinson of the Oakland Raiders.
I saw that, man. I'm tune in. Now I know how to do it. So I tune in. You gotta show me, but you gonna have to tell me later on how to listen in on the computer because I couldn't figure that out, man.
The L hook, and I love it. We talk. He said, what you know about the L hook? I said, I know about the L hook. That's the one putting Lynn Swann in the hospital. This is my favorite thing when I was playing football. That's what I always said. Now, Kevin, you might not like this. I said, the Bible said, do unto others before they do unto you. Get them.
Man, you're twisting up scripture, man. That's the Bible according to Brooks, everybody.
Do unto others before they do unto you. And people scratch their head and say, it don't really go back like that. Yes, it does. I'm going to get you before you get me.
That's funny, man.
That's the way it works. But Kevin, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
When you play a linebacker, Mike Wilson went on to play with the Rams. I remember, man, he was a bad boy, made all pro. And that's
right.
A good sprint of yours.
I just got off the phone I just got off the phone with him.
Well, let me ask you a question. When you played for Easton, you made all Met, right?
Uh-huh.
Did you make All-America and you made All-Met or something?
No. My senior year, I was a championships game most valuable defensive player. I made all in the highs as a linebacker and a kicker. I was voted to All-Metropolitan, and I was also voted defensive player of the year that year. The offensive player of the year was Freddie Wagner. So we shared that honor, you know. Welcher was All-Metropolitan also, and Welcher wound up going down to University of North Carolina. You know, he played behind Lawrence Taylor. When Lawrence Taylor graduated, he filled in where Lawrence came out. Welcher's doing well, man. He's doing well. I talk to him every other day, man. It's my man.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up as kids together, man. We used to eat fried bologna sandwiches over each other's house, man. And, you know, and if his mama likes you, she give you extra cheese.
Everybody ain't bologna sandwiches. But let me ask you this.
Man.
How about when you play with the Metro Buccaneers? He's a running back too. Play with the Metro Bucks and running back. Tell us about the time when you with Bob Johnson and that crew. I was just
You know how that happened, man. I came up for the team to play linebacker and the Twins was there. Keith and Kevin was there.
Before you go on, we had them on the show. Bach, you remember the Twins?
Yeah, Kevin, I remember them.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, so when you say the Twins, Bach, I know who you're talking about because they were on the show. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Keith, and Batiste, I just met Batiste, man. He said, listen, I saw you play in high school, man. He said, I know you're a good linebacker. He said, but do you want to play? I said, what you mean? He said, do you want to get on the field? I said, yeah. He said, well, if you want to get on the field, man, you don't want to be a linebacker on this team. Them guys got that spot sold up. So I said, what you need? He said, we need a running back. And I said, show me the ball, man. Show me the ball. And that's how I got to be a running back on that team. But my first year there, yeah, my all conference, man, burned that league up. You know, but see, you know, I was an athlete, man. I could play any spot on the field. You know what I mean? Any spot on the field. But the thing was, when I got to Eastern, there was a guy there named Eddie Blue Williams. I used to hang at Eastern when I was a kid all the time. So I knew all them dudes, Clayton Osborne, all the Chesley brothers, you know what I mean, Stackhouse. I knew all them dudes. So when I came up to Eastern my first year, I didn't play a lot of Pop Warner football. So my first year really playing organized football, I played 1 year. And when I came to Eastern, I really didn't know all the positions. So when I saw this dude, I saw him and said, hey, man, you should play with Eastern. And he said, what position you play? I said, I don't know. What you coaching? He said, I coach the defense. Well, I said, so I play defense. He said, what position? I said, what position you want me to play? He said, well, we need some linebackers. I said, okay. Well, I play linebacker. And I had never played the position before, but I knew how to play football. I knew how to go hit people. And that dude put me in front of a dude, man. The dude's name was Killer Rick. I thought by the dude's name that he was a beast, man. They called him Killer Rick. And the first play, my first bit of live contact, I get up under this dude, man, hit him with a forearm, get past him, tackle the running back in the backfield. And that was the first tackle I ever made as a linebacker. And I remember this dude looking at Coach Stewart, because Coach Willie Stewart was his first year as a head coach. Yeah, and I remember him looking at Coach Stewart and saying, hey, Stu, this one here going to be all right. And that was how I came to play linebacker, man. And I learned the position as I went along, man. I was a 10th grade starter, and we played Woodson over there at Spingarn High School, and they beat us by 2 points because the field goal kicker missed a 20-yard field goal. And the next year I said, man, I know how to kick field goals, and that was how I got to be the field goal kicker at Eastern. Yeah, and we beat them 3-0 that year. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I ain't going to toot my own horn, but, you know, I'm just saying. I think that's still the longest field goal made in the inner high to date.
It might be. Sure.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a whole lot. 33-yard field goal was a whole lot back then.
Yeah, 33, man.
I've seen you play when y'all played over the stadium against Dunbar, and I just
knew
Dunbar was going to win in spite of Luther Banner. I always say that, you know.
Yeah.
But y'all had some good teams over there. Eastern had a lot of good talent. I only scrimmaged against them once when I was at Godoza. But
yeah,
after I graduated, that's when Godoza won the championship when they had King Kong and Butch Savage and K-9 and that.
Did they give you a ring? Did they give you a ring, Brooks?
No, they didn't give me. They had no rings back. We weren't giving nobody no rings. All the rings I
but,
got.
But you know, y'all won the championship right after I left with the Bucks, man, and with the Bulls.
I'm still waiting on my ring, man.
I should get a ring, man.
You know what? Hey, Kevin, all the ring I can give you is. Take a bath and don't wash the tub. but Kevin, you know what I always say? Guess what I always say? And I tell ball players that all the time. I swear, I wish you had been there to play for me because I wanted you to play for me. Because that team, I had so much talent on that team. Because when I took over the team, I cut 30 ball players. I cut almost the whole team. Rockerberry, I cut everybody. And Mickey told me, said, you out of your mind? I said, you only won 4 games. I'm not playing because I don't want to beat this local stuff. I want to be the number one team in the country. I want to go to California, Wisconsin, and win. He said, man, if you don't make this work, I said, don't worry about it. I'm not getting no bums. But I wanted you real bad, but you left because everybody came over, Twins and all them. Man, I wanted you bad.
That was, unfortunately, man, that was when my darkness started, man. That was when I was in a dark place in my life at that time, man. And it's funny, Brooks, how that works, man. It's like there are so many people, and I can honestly say this, that are not happy right now that I regained my life. Because it's one of those things that's really true about that crab in the basket mentality, man.
Oh, yeah.
And brothers, that misery loves company. You know, as long as I was, you know, doing bad, I remember this, and I can say it openly. I ran into Redmond. Redmond played running back on Roosevelt.
I had him on the show. I had Redmond on the show.
I ran into Redmond, man, at the All-Star game. Well, you know, my mama lived right across the street from the All-Star game. And I saw Redmond, and I was in a real dark place at that time, man. I told Redmond, man, hey, man, you help a brother out, man, I'm homeless, man. You know, I was borderline homeless. Yeah. That brother didn't help me, but you know what he did?
What?
He couldn't wait to tell as many people as he could. Yeah, that nigga kept minor doing bad, and then kept minor on it. And I realized that's just where some people are. You see, because he and I were never friends, you dig what I'm saying? But it's just that mentality of being, finding joy and seeing one of our own in misery.
Well,
you
let
see?
Me tell you something about DC. Now, I'm a little older than you, but let me tell you, I'm 62. Let me tell you something about DC. It's just like when I had that team with the Bulls. I'm going to tell you something about DC. I love DC. You know, I'm a straight up DC, and I'll say nigga, I'm a straight up street nigga. I'm DC all the way. One thing about DC, we are the most jealous city I've ever been around of our athletes. Whenever somebody is great for something, it's jealousy. It's just like when I won that championship with the Bulls. With the Bulls, before I won, everybody liked the Bulls. But I won that championship, well, I was brash, too, and I was bragging, and, you know, I got a big mouth. I was the most hated person in Washington, right?
Yeah,
and,
that's how they are.
And even when I played, oh, he dirty, he did, I was the most hated person in D.C., and even if I wasn't so called a dirty ball player, if you any good, people want to see you do bad. Just like
this is true. It's sad but true.
If somebody came up and said, "Brooks got hit by a car,"
you're right.
They would love that. They would love it.
You're exactly right. And that's sad. That's sad, man.
Let me say this. About 10 years ago, my back was real bad. I was depressed. I was doing real bad. I was 270 pounds. I was laying in the bed. I was, mother and father was gone, man. I was so messed up. And people looked at me, and they said, I told them, I got a back problem. I got to get a knee replacement. They said, he on something. He is something wrong with him. He on something. He not going to live, right? I mean, everybody said, if you saw me, I was terrible, right? Everybody made fun of me. Do you know, I got myself together, looked in the mirror, and said, you ain't going out like that. I had low self-esteem, but I always had a big ego.
That's right.
That's right. And that, when they see me, you know, maybe about 3 years ago, they looked at me, they can't believe it. It's like, he's like he's 10 years younger. And let me tell you this. When you're 58 years old and you look real bad, the chances are when you become 67, you're not going to look real good.
That's right.
And everybody say, I can't believe it. By the grace of God, you know, lady came in my life.
Mercy, man.
I mean, she did a whole lot for me, right? She did a whole lot for me. She didn't have to do that. I've been doing it for a long time. She really looked out for me. But I'm telling you something, man. I'm blessed because, man, if you saw me, they said, everybody in D.C., they was making fun of me, said, man, hey, I was walking a bit over there and said, you know Duke used to shine shoes on 14th Street. You must be Duke because you keep bending down. And they said, I bet you don't know what the sun looked like because I was so bad off. And everybody made fun of me, and I looked so bad. My face had blotches and stuff. And guess what? Like I said, you 58 and now 67. And you look like you 58 again. And you think there's no Lord involved in that?
Yeah, well, you know, I know it is.
He gave you a brain. I tell people all that. The Lord gave you a brain. It was up to me to use it. I looked in the mirror and looked at myself. I didn't have to say, Lord, help me this. Hey, look, you know what I'm saying? I got to get these operations. I got to go back in the gym. I got to start working out. Because he gave
me do what you got to do.
And I made the decision.
You do what you got to do. Now
it was the Lord to help, but the Lord gave us a brain.
That's right. Well, I'm in pretty good shape right now, you know what I mean? And every now and then I look in the mirror and I think that I could go out there and play a few quarters, but them just thoughts, you know what I mean?
Hey, guess what? Guess what Richard Miles say? You know Richard Miles, don't you?
Yeah, I remember Miles, man. What Miles
guess
say?
What Miles do? You know, Miles always bragging this and that. And Miles and Freddie Wagner is probably the two people think they still can play. Freddie still play touchdown. But I asked Miles the other day, I say, Miles, can I ask you a question? Do you think you can still play football? I just knew he was going to say, yeah, I can play this and that. He said, yeah, I can play. He can play. He said, but the only problem is my body keeps telling my brain, you go ahead and play. Because I can't help you.
Yeah, no question, man. Yeah, but we got memories, though. You know what I mean? Nobody can take them away from us, man. And those are real, man. And right now what I'm doing, man, is I'm building new memories. You know what I mean? You know, I don't know if you know, I got married, man. I met my wife out here, and I got four kids, man, two girls, two boys, and I got my oldest boy that's there, you know, but God's been real good to me, man, and I'm grateful for what he's allowed me to recapture my life, to get some resemblance of life back, you know what I mean? Because I was touch and go there for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
But God, see, I can begin this sentence and end this sentence with two words, but God, you feel me? Because, see, it's going to start the new sentence, and when I talk about how good he is, like when somebody try to tell you what almost happened, then you end it by saying, but God, that means he intervened, and he didn't let it happen. So I'm grateful, man, that he didn't let it happen like a lot of people thought it would. And to be honest, man, there's a lot of people, man, that didn't know that I left D.C. I came home one year, and a dude told me to keep coming back. I said, what are you talking about, man? He thought I'd been locked up.
Hey, look, you know, get what I tell people all the time. You can tell the difference in a person been locked up and been to college. Here's how it goes. If you've been locked up, you say, man, I just came home. If you've been to college, you say, I came home for the summer.
You crazy, man.
Hey,
you crazy, man. That's funny.
Let me ask you, do any of your sons play ball?
No, I coach my youngest boy. I coached their flag football team this past year. But I'm not encouraging my son to play no contact football. You know, I want him to get an education, man, and he asking me about it right now, but maybe we might revisit it once he gets to high school. You know, but right now it's really not my goal to see him play football, man. The game has changed so much since we played, man. You know what I mean? These kids, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. I mean, you know, your whole career. See, we're talking about when we played and we're still able to walk upright. Some of these kids, man, the way the game has changed now, these kids are going to be under a doctor's care for the rest of their life, man.
Well, you know, but I tell people this all the time. You see, in my life, I'm blessed. I never got a concussion because I used to, you know, tackle by the neck and head like Chris Hamburger.
Right.
You could do that back then. But I tell you something I've never done. And I've never done this in my life. I've never done it. And I played till I was 34 years old. I never took my helmet and hit somebody with it because guess what? Number one, I look at it like this. And this was when I was in my 20s. I said, my brain is in my head. My head is in a helmet. What in the hell I'm going to take my helmet and run into somebody for? For what? I got shoulder pads. I can yoke robbery. I can L-hook. I can close mine. I can do all that. What in the world I want to take my helmet and run into these? And these guys take their helmet in the pros. They do everything wrong. Got their head down, running their helmets, helmet to helmet. I'm running my helmet into your helmet. What good is that going to do me? Just think about it.
Well, you know, somewhere along the way, they stop teaching fundamentals, man.
They sure do.
Somewhere along the way, the coaches stopped coaching and just basically, you know what I mean, it was a free fall. You know, because we learned technique, we learned how to tackle, we learned how to block, and none of those things do I remember involved us putting our head first.
That's right.
And you know, so things have changed, man. No.
And got your head first and got it down so you can just break your neck. I hear a lot of them college and high school ball players break their neck, and I see the footage. He's leading with his head, and it got his head down. Good way to break your neck.
Yeah. Well, you know.
They don't teach technique. And you know what? I can understand what you're saying. Now, if I had a son, I never had a son. You know, I'm a rugged dude. I want to play football. But then again, I think about it. The way these guys teach now, it's kind of dangerous.
Well, it's very dangerous. Very dangerous, man. Well, sometimes they don't teach because they don't know themselves, man.
Because
remember, you got a whole generation, man, that came after us, and I played in the 70s and the 80s, that came after us, man, that just didn't learn the game the same way that we did.
Well,
you know, everything changed. They got rid of all the Pop Warner, all the club football, you know what I mean? So what we expect them to do? That's blind leading the blind, man.
Yeah, like I tell coaches, I say, how can you teach a guy how to catch a ball when you don't know how to catch a ball?
That's it. That's it. You can't.
You got a lot of these guys. Let me tell you something about coaches in D.C. When you look at some of these coaches, you look on the sideline and see a coach, and a lot of these people, you look at them and say, I don't know him. Where is he from? Because D.C. is a small town. If you coached or you played, somebody knows you, right?
That's right. For the most, they should.
One thing about D.C., all you got to do is take a background check and get a hat, and you can become a coach. They couldn't coach a state. Don't go to clinic. I mean, and PlayStation plays, you know, that kind of stuff. And guess what? You think they ask you for advice? No. They know everything. You can't tell them nothing. But you know what? You're right, in a way. It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. To let your son play ball with some of these coaches now, and it's not a lot of good ones out here, to tell you the truth.
Well, you know, they don't know what they're doing, and the love of the game is totally not there anymore. You know, most of us played when we were younger, because we developed a love for the game, but that's not the case now, man. You know, everybody trying to find a way out of the hood, you know, and this and that. But where did the love for the game go? You know,
they're strutting and showing off at the game, and strutting and got spats on and got their stuff all cute. Everybody looking all cute. They've been in the weight room and some of the people
they're cute, man.
they cute. And look, helping each other up and stay in the jersey. Man, I'm not helping you off no ground. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing none of that. Everybody want to be friends. I ain't trying to get familiar. Like, I hit a dude one night and laid him out. He was out for a long time. He popped the cap in the nose. I said, man, I don't care if he die. And the referee said, he got a wife and family.
Oh, man.
I said, man, I ain't telling him to get married. I don't care about his family. I want to destroy and take his manhood from him, right? Man, that's a crazy way of thinking. You know, I got older. I think a little different. But man,
can
you imagine Dick Butkus helping somebody out?
Well, I watched his football life, him and Gale Sayers, the other night, man. But at the end of the day, it's a game. To me, it's still a game. You know what I mean? And I don't put more emphasis on it.
It was like life or death. And it was my life and then death.
You crazy,
look,
man.
Let me say this real quick. Let me say this. Lay a dude out, hurt him so bad, I say, do you want to put him in the hospital? I said, yeah. If I put him in a wheelchair, he'll spend more time with his wife and family. He'll be at home. He won't cheat on his wife. So I'm looking out for his family. That's how twisted my mind was.
You crazy, man. You crazy. But listen, man, I got to get back to my study. So let me ask you a question, Brooks. We've been talking for a minute. Is everything that we talked about, is it on the computer?
Yeah. What you got to do is, here's what we do. When you get off, the show goes off at 10 o'clock. You go to my website or go to Brock's website and have a copy of the show. All you got to do is click share. It'll go right over to your
What's your website? What's your website?
No, it's on Facebook. Go to my Facebook page and click show. Just click share. The show will be on there. Hey, Bob, what, about 10 minutes after the show?
Okay. I'm going to do that, man. I'm going to try to tell a few friends to go check it out.
Yeah, all you got to do is go to my Facebook page about 10, 15 minutes after the show. And you see Let's Talk Football with the Hangman, you know, the latest show. And you just click share, and you can listen to it.
I'm going to do that, man, because I think we're getting close on time, man. But I wanted to be able to tell you that I really appreciate you, man, you know, calling me and chiming me in. And I hope some of my California friends were able to listen in, you know. And again, I recognize, man, that sometimes I'm the only Bible, and my life is the only Bible that some people ever going to read. So you know what I mean. So
I learned a lot from you tonight about your game and about your ministry. I like that umbrella, you know, that faith and umbrella. You always got to learn, man, and I'm always trying to learn. I appreciate that.
Well, good, man. Like I always say, to God be the glory, man. To God be the glory.
And always remember, do unto others before they do unto you.
You remember that. Hey, man, it's been a pleasure, man. Who else on the line with us?
Thanks so much.
Man, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, you too, man. Great story.
Now, which Brock is this?
His name is Brock.
Yeah, it's Bob.
Roundtree.
Tell it.
I came through in 83.
Okay, you came back a few years after me. Where'd you go to high school?
Oh, no. I was born in 83.
Get out of here, man. Man. I don't know. I'm old now, boy.
Hey man,
I go to war zone with him. He's a good dude, though. Yeah, he's born in 83.
Good God Almighty.
My man, and we had this idea, man, and we just, you know, we going to run with it. I mean, I like what he had, so we running with
it. It's a beautiful thing,
man. And keeping it going, you know, just trying to be positive.
It's a beautiful thing. I got to tell you, though, man, I entered into it with some trepidation, man, because I didn't know what to expect, you know, but I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it, man. If you ever want me on here again, Brooks, you let me know, man, and I'd be happy to come on again. Young brother, you keep doing what you're doing, man. Bless you, my friend. Take care of yourself. Take care of that old man. And look forward to seeing and talking to you guys in the future. I may be in town for the Turkey Bowl, man, so let's stay in touch. Are you on Facebook?
Oh, yeah, we all on there. Yeah, we'll link up.
What's your name on Facebook?
Shannon Roundtree.
S-H-A-N-N?
O-N, Roundtree, like shy.
How many N's? Two N's or two one?
Two.
I'm gonna put in a friend request for you, man.
Thank you.
I look forward to talking to you, man. Brooks, it's been real, man. You take care of yourself, man. And again, I'm glad you called me, man. And if you ever need me again, don't hesitate to call me, man.
Great
okay,
show.
Appreciate it, man. I'll see you when you get back here, man.
All right, young man. Be blessed. Right. Take care of yourselves, man.
You too,
take
man.
It easy.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Thank you. Bye. Give a shout out my man Dave. He came in and dropped a couple little coins on us today. I didn't even know my man could kick too.
Yeah, but we got to get Dave on the show. You know, I think Dave just had I didn't want to announce it. I think he had a kidney transplant. And I think things went well.
Thank God, man.
Dave has never smoked or drank or anything. It was just hereditary.
I just want to go ahead. I want to give a shout out to my loved ones, everybody who tuned in tonight. Everything DMV, from the streets to your sheets. This Bach, it's a classic.
And this is Hangman. Hey, to my family, to my friend, have a good night. Great show. Love you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.